From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Is there a marriage plan?
But I mean, what would it be?
Stream transfer. Oh, that's
from it. Yeah,
probably. Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. We are going pound for pound with Shakespeare like humidity and heat, which comes together and creates a day like this. Delicious. Mm. Eric Jean, how are you and how do you like this heat?
I'm a winter guy. I like winter. I like cold.
He likes the darkness. He likes the cold. He likes the snow.
Don't like the darkness.
He
do
likes
like the
fur and the fire side.
Mm. Mm.
Stephanie E.M. Coleman, do you like the winter or the summer nights?
I have to say I'm more of a winter gal as well.
Winter gal.
I like to hunker down in my bunker.
Hunker
and just wait it out.
Mm. Also a good place to be for zombie apocalypses.
Mm.
Mickey Laval, a blast from the past, has rejoined us. It has been many, many plays since we have seen you last. When was the last play you were in?
I don't remember even the last play. It's a little foggy. I think
the Taming of the Shrew?
No.
I've been back since.
Hmm.
Were you in Lear?
No.
No. She wasn't. She hasn't been here.
12th Night?
Sure.
Oh, no.
Henry the Sixth Part 1?
Damn, no.
No, long time.
Oh, wow, it's been so long.
That back then, Jay Reed was just getting Soldier in First Century.
Oh, no, he's like a major
yeah.
frontliner now.
Like
I
Josh
noticed
Jordan's.
My name had actually dropped off, and I'm no longer on the front line.
Well, we changed it from line the first to line the second to just who's currently reading
yeah.
and who's not.
How quickly we fall. How quickly we
Jay
fall.
Jay Reed got back to the Irish.
Oh,
you've
yes,
gone from Kentucky back to Ireland.
Well, I decided to go to Ireland today because I was feeling like having a little cold weather. You know?
Mm.
Cold, damp weather, but
yes.
I guess it didn't...
Chilblings.
Damp, but hot and damp.
Yeah. Mm.
Amrit Sanger, how are you?
Not
Your
bad.
Hair looks fantastic today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty styling.
Well done. It's
Thank
a,
you.
It's a lovely haircut. I've praised it many times.
Thanks.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to a new play on the Bard Brawl.
Yeah.
Please go to barbrawl.com and listen to all the old plays that we've already recorded. This is, I think, play number 7.
I think so.
And it is the most popular play of the entire canon. Everybody's been waiting for this. That's right, Bard Brawlers, ladies and gentlemen, all...
It's Pericles.
It's Pericles. When... First off, Eric Jean, when is Pericles, what is Pericles, and why has nobody heard of it?
Oof.
All right, what is Pericles, or when is Pericles the easiest question? So that is, let's say, a couple of years before Winter's Tale. So within the last, say, 6 or 7 plays Shakespeare writes. It is a romance, probably the first one that he writes, which doesn't mean, rom-com, romantic comedy, but means instead that it happens in this kind of quasi-magical fairy tale storyland place. And why is it not popular? Well... you will see, or you will hear. But it is probably one of Shakespeare's weaker plays. There's a whole bunch of conjecture that he didn't write most of it. But it is wacky. It's wacky.
Who did write it? Who is the guy
I'm
they
not sure.
think of?
I think Fletcher, is who's a playwright that comes around towards the end of Shakespeare's career, is the potential person. But it's kind of a moot point, because Shakespeare himself... These plays, Shakespeare didn't write down in his own hand. Someone else sort of transcribed afterwards. So there's no way of knowing how much of this is originally was in his play and how much of this was added by someone who thought they were fixing the original.
Mm.
So
it's always good to go back and fix people's plays.
Sure, Shakespeare
just...
needed an editor. Like, nobody's business to
change this. We have a prologue. How many plays have prologues? There's like just a couple, right?
There's a couple. Henry V has a prologue.
Romeo and Juliet has a prologue.
Romeo and Juliet.
So like chorus prologue.
Yeah.
What's the point in the Renaissance-style plays. Why have a prologue? Why?
It's almost like having an introduction in a nonfiction book that you'd write, that you'd read now. In some ways, it contextualizes the way that you're supposed to approach this play. So the prologue here is given by Gower, who's a poet I'm sure everyone in Bard Brawl Nation has heard about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I get a lot of emails about it.
Constantly. But he's a contemporary or quasi-contemporary of, that guy who wrote the Canterbury Tales.
Chaucer.
So, but Gower was known for writing this really long, almost, I guess, like an epic-length poem, but it was, it had a lot of romance elements in it, and weird shit happening.
With that being said, Act 1, the prologue. Enter Gower. Eric Jean, you are Gower.
I am apparently Gower. To sing a song that old was sung, from ashes ancient, Gower is come. Assuming man's infirmities, to glad your ears and please your eyes. It hath been sung at festivals, on ember eaves and holy ales, and lords and ladies in their lives have read it for restoratives, I guess to be hives. The purchase is to make men glorious, et bonum quo antiquus eumilius. If you, born in these latter times, when wit's more ripe, accept my rhymes, and that to hear an old man sing may to your wishes pleasure bring, I life would wish, and that I might waste it for you like taper light. This Antioch, then, and Antioch the Great built up this city for his chiefest seat, the fairest in all Syria. I tell you what mine authors say. This king unto him took a peer who died and left a female heir, a buxom blithe and full of face as heaven hath lent her all his grace, with whom the father liking took, and her to incest did provoke.
Ooh.
Bad child, worse father to entice his own to evil, should be done by none. But custom, what they did begin, was with long use accounted no sin. The beauty of this sinful dame made many princes thither framed to seek her as a bedfellow, in marriage pleasure's playfellow, which to prevent he made a law, to keep her still in men at awe, that whosoever asked her for his wife, his riddle told not, lost his life. So for her many a wight did die, as yon grim looks do testify.
Points to the heads of the unsuccessful suitors displayed above.
What now ensues to the judgment of your eye, I give my cause, who best can justify.
Exit. Fun to stage this play. You get to make a lot of severed heads. So, art department people. Enjoy. So, we are going to Antioch, Syria. We have Antiochus. Antiochus? Where is Antiochus? Okay. Okay, Amrit, you are Antiochus. There you go.
You'll find out later why that's gross.
Prince Pericles will be Mr. J. Reed. The daughter of Antiochus will be Stephanie E.M. Coleman. And Thaliard will be Mickey Laval. And we'll jump Eric.
You shall be an Antiochian messenger.
Yes. Okay. You want to do stage directions there,
sure.
Eric Jean?
All right, Act 1, Scene 1. Enter Antiochus. Prince Pericles and followers.
Young Prince of Tyre, you have at large received the danger of the task you undertake.
I have, Antioch, and with soul emboldened with the glory of her praise, think death no hazard in this enterprise.
Bring in our daughter. Sorry. Bring in our daughter, clothed like a bride, for the embracements even of Jove himself. At whose conception till Lucina reigned, nature this dowry gave to glad her presence. The senate house of planets all did sit to knit in their best perfections.
Enter Antiochus's daughter.
See where she comes, apparelled like the spring, graces her subjects and her thoughts the king. Of every virtue gives renown to men. Her face the book of praises, where is read. Nothing but curious pleasures, as from thence sorrow were ever raised, and testy wrath could never be her mild companion. You gods that made me man, and sway in love, that have inflamed desire in my breast, to taste the fruit of yon celestial tree, or die in thy adventure, be my helps, as I am son and servant to your will, to compass such a boundless happiness?
Prince Pericles.
That would be the son to great Antiochus.
Before thee stands this fair Hesperides. Hesperides, with golden fruit, but dangerous to be touched, for death, like dragons here, affright thee hard. Her face, like heaven, enticeth thee to view her countless glory, which desert must gain, and which without desert, because thine eye presumes to reach all thy whole heap, must die. Yon sometimes famous princes, like thyself, drawn by report, adventurous by desire, tell thee with speechless tongues and semblance pale, that without covering save yon field of stars, here they stand martyrs, slain in Cupid's wars, and with dead cheeks advise thee to desist, foregoing on death's net whom none resist.
Antiochus, I thank thee, who hath taught my frail mortality to know itself, and by those fearful objects to prepare this body, like to them, to what I must, for death remembered should be like a mirror, who tells us life's but breath, to trust it error. I'll make my will then, and as sick men do, who know the world, see heaven, but feeling woe, gripe not at earthly joys as erst they did. So I bequeath a happy peace to you, and all good men, as every prince should do, my riches to the earth from whence they came.
To the princess.
But my unspotted fire of love to you, thus ready for the way of life or death, I wait the sharpest blow, Antiochus.
Scorning advice, read the conclusion then, which read and not expounded, 'tis decreed, as these before thee thou self shalt bleed.
Of all said yet, mayest thou prove prosperous. Of all said yet, I wish thee happiness.
Like a bold champion, I assume the lists, nor ask advice of any other thought, but faithfulness and courage.
He reads the riddle.
I am no viper, yet I feed on mother's flesh which did me breed. I sought a husband in which labor I found that kindness in a father. He's father, son, and husband mild. I mother, wife, and yet his child. How they may be, and yet in two, as you will live, resolve it you.
Gross. Side.
Ooh, sharp physic is the last. But oh, you powers! That gives heaven countless eyes to view men's acts. Why cloud they not their sights perpetually, if this be true, which makes me pale to read it?
Aside to the princess.
Fair glass of light, I loved you, and could still, were not this glorious cast is stored with ill. But I must tell you, now my thoughts revolt, for he's no man on whom perfections wait, that knowing sin within will touch the gate. You are a fair vial, and your sense the strings, who, fingered to make man his lawful music, would draw heaven down, and all the gods to hearken, but being played upon before your time, hell only danceth at so harsh a chime. Good sooth, I care not for you.
Prince Pericles, touch not upon thy life, for that's an article within our laws, dangerous as the rest. Your time's expired. Either expound now or receive your sentence.
Great king, few love to hear the sins they love to act.
Very so true.
Gross. 'Twould braid yourself too near for me to tell it. Who has a book of all that monarchs do? He's more secure to keep it shut than shown. For vice repeated is like the wandering wind, blows dust in others' eyes to spread itself, and yet the end of all is bought thus dear. The breath is gone, and the sore eyes see clear. To stop the air would hurt them. The blind mole casts copped hills towards heaven to tell the earth is thronged by man's oppression, and the poor worm doth die for it. Kings are earth's gods, in vice their laws their will, and if Jove stray, who dare say Jove doth ill? It is enough, you know, and it is fit, what being more known grows worse, to smother it, and all love the womb that there first being bred, then give my tongue like leave to love to my head.
Aside, heaven that I had my head, he has found the meaning, but I will gloss with him. Young prince of Tyre, though by the tenor of our strict edict, your exposition misinterpreting.
We might proceed to cancel of your days, yet hope succeeding from so fair a tree as your fair self doth tune us otherwise. 40 days longer we do respite you. If by which time our secret be undone, this mercy shows will joy in such a son. And until then your entertain shall be as doth befit our honor and your worth.
Exit. Manet Pericles Solus.
How courtesy would seem to cover sin, when what is done is like a hypocrite. The witch is good in nothing but in sight. If it be true that I interpret false, then were it certain you were not so bad as with foul incest to abuse your soul, where now you're both a father and a son by your uncomely claspings with your child. Which pleasures fit a husband, not a father, and she an eater of her mother's flesh by the defiling of her parents' bed, and both like serpents are, who, though they feed on sweetest flowers, yet thy poison breed. Antioch, farewell, for wisdom sees those men. Blush not in actions blacker than the night. We'll shew no course to keep them from the light. One sin, I know, another doth provoke. Murder's as near to lust as flame to smoke. Poison and treason are the hands of sin. Aye, and the targets to put off the shame. Then lest my life be cropped to keep you clear. By flight I'll shun the danger which I fear.
Exit. Enter Antiochus.
He hath found the meaning for which we mean to have his head. He must not live to trumpet forth my infamy, nor tell the world Antiochus doth sin in such a loathed manner, and therefore instantly this prince must die, for by his fall my honor must keep high. Who attends us there?
Enter Thaliard.
Does your highness call.
Welcome back.
Thaliard, you are our chamber, and our mind partakes her private actions to your secrecy. And for your faithfulness we will advance you. Thaliard, behold, here's poison and here's gold. We hate the Prince of Tyre, and thou must kill him. It fits thee not to ask the reason why, because we bid it. Say, is it done?
My lord, 'tis done.
Enough.
Enter an Antiochian messenger.
Let your breath cool yourself, telling your haste.
My lord! My lord! Prince Pericles is fled!
Exit.
As thou wilt live, fly after. And like an arrow shot from a well-experienced archer hits the mark, his eye doth level at. So thou never return unless thou say, Prince Pericles is dead.
My lord, if I can get him within my pistol's length, I'll make him sure enough. So, farewell to your highness.
Thaliard, adieu.
Exit Thaliard.
Till Pericles be dead, my heart can lend no succor to my head.
Exit.
I'm in trouble.
Who makes a riddle about committing incest with their daughter,
I don't understand.
Announcing to the world what they've done, and then get mad if someone figures it out?
It's crazy.
It's pretty gross. Yeah.
It is.
It's pretty clear writing, though. And
Yeah, the plot becomes less and less clear, because I don't... Does he... The king...
I wanted to read the play that came from this.
Yeah.
That's not really what we get.
He's gone. Like, I don't think the king ever comes back.
No, I don't think they ever come back to Antiochus.
This plot is just sort of left there.
Wow.
It's like it's only meant to explain why Pericles had to run away from somewhere.
Yeah.
But they could have just done that with Pericles on the boat. It's like, oh, my recent trip to Antiochus doth sour my report. With all the world I must depart to port, or whatever, and still have the rhymes and the whole thing.
Yeah, or they could have done that with Gower in the introduction.
Yeah,
or that.
Like, two introductions. Okay, we're in Tyre.
Oh, yes.
Mm. We got Pericles, Lords of Tyre, and Helicanus.
Yeah, Helicanus.
I guess I could be Helicanus.
Sure. I will continue with stage dialection.
Okay. Amory, you can be Lord 1, and Stephanie can be Lord 2.
Cool.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. No.
I'll be
Act
sound
one.
Effects.
Okay. Everybody the sound effects. Just jump in.
All right. Tyre, a room in the palace. Pericles, Lords of Tyre, and Helicanus. Enter Pericles with his lords.
Let none disturb us.
Exit, lords.
Why should this change of thoughts, the sad companion, dull-eyed melancholy, be my so used a guest as not an hour in the day's glorious walk or peaceful night? The tomb where grief should sleep can breed me quiet. Here pleasures court mine eyes, and mine eyes shun them. And danger, which I feared, is at Antioch, whose arm seems far too short to hit me here. Yet neither's pleasures art can joy my spirits, nor yet the other's distance comfort me. Then it is thus the passions of the mind that have their first conception by misdread, have after nourishment and life by care, and what was first but fear what might be done grows elder now and cares it not be done. And so with me, the great Antiochus, gainst whom I am too little to contend, since he's so great and make his will his act, will think me speaking, though I swear to silence, nor boots it me to say I honor him, if he suspect I may dishonor him, and what make him blush in being known, he'll stop the course by which it might be known. With hostile forces he'll o'erspread the land, and with the ostent of war will look so huge. Amazement shall drive courage from the state. Our men be vanquished ere they do resist, and subjects punished that near thought offense, which care of them, not pity of myself, who am no more but as the tops of trees, which fence the roots they grow by and defend them, makes both my body pine and soul to languish, and punish that before he would punish.
That's actually a pretty good monologue.
Yeah, I was just thinking, actually, that was nice, the touch of trees and everything.
Yeah.
Enter Helicanus and all the lords to Pericles.
Joy and all comfort in your sacred breast.
And keep your mind till you return to us peaceful and comfortable.
Peace, and give experience tongue. They do abuse the king that flatter him, for flattery is the bellows blows up sin, the thing the which is flattered but a spark to which that blast gives heat and stronger glowing, whereas reproof obedient and in order fits kings as they are men, for they may err. When Signor Sooth here does proclaim peace, he flatters you, makes war upon your life. Prince, pardon me, or strike me if you please. I cannot be much lower than my knees.
Kneels.
I'll leave us else, but let your cares o'erlook what shipping and what ladings in our haven, and then return to us.
Exit lords.
Helicanus, thou hast moved us. What seest thou in our looks?
An angry brow, dread lord.
If there be such a dart in princes' frowns, how durst thy tongue move anger to our face?
How darest the plants look up to heaven from whence they have their nourishment?
Thou knowest I have power to take thy life from thee.
I have ground the axe myself, but do but you strike the blow.
Rise, prithee, rise. Sit down. Thou art no flatterer. I thank thee for it, and heaven forbid that kings should let their ears hear their faults hit. Fit counselor and servant for a prince, who by thy wisdom makes a prince thy servant, what wouldst thou have me do?
To bear with patience such griefs as you yourself do lay upon yourself.
Thou speakest like a physician, Helicanus, that ministers a potion unto me, that thou wouldst tremble to receive thyself. Attend me then. I went to Antioch, where, as thou knowest, against the face of death I sought the purchase of a glorious beauty, from whence an issue I might propagate. Our arms to princes and bring joys to subjects. Her face was to mine eye beyond all wonder. The rest, hark in thine ear, as black as incest, which by my knowledge found the sinful father seems not to strike but smooth. But thou knowest this, 'tis time to fear when tyrants seem to kiss, which fear so grew in me. I hither fled under the covering of a careful knight, who seemed my good protector, and being here, bethought what was past, what might succeed. I knew him tyrannous, and tyrant's fears decrease not, but grow faster than the years. And should he doubt it, as no doubt he doth, that I should open to the listening air how many worthy princes' bloods were shed to keep his bed of blackness unlaid ope.
To lop that doubt, he'll fill this land with arms and make pretense of wrong that I have done him. When all, for mine, if I may call offense, must feel war's blow, who spares not innocence, which love to all, of which thyself art once one, who now provest me for it.
Alas, sir.
Drew sleep out of mine eyes, blood from my cheeks, musings into my mind with thousand doubts, how I might stop this tempest ere it came, and finding little comfort to relieve him, I thought it princely charity to grieve for them.
Well, my lord, since you have given me leave to speak, freely will I speak. Antiochus you fear, and justly too, I think you fear the tyrant, who either by public war or private treason will take away your life. Therefore, my lord, go travel for a while, till that his rage and anger be forgot, or till the destinies do cut his thread of life. You rule direct to any, if to me. Day serves not light more faithful than I'll be.
I do not doubt thy faith, but should he wrong my liberties in my absence?
We'll mingle our bloods together in the earth, from whence we had our being and our birth.
Tyre, I now look from thee then, and to Tharsis. Intend my travel, where I'll hear from thee, and by whose letters I'll dispose myself. The care I had and have of subjects good, on thee I lay, whose wisdom's strength can bear it. I'll take thy word for faith, and not ask thine oath. Who shuns not to break one will crack them both. But in our orbs we'll live so round and safe that time of both this true shall ne'er convince. Thou showest a subject shine, I, a true prince.
Exit. I think I get the Gower thing now.
Yeah?
Right. Yeah,
the Gower's main political work is the Confessio Amantis, and it talks about flatterers, flattery, and rulership. And the main problem that we have in scene one is he's allowed to commit incest because the entire court flatters the king. And now Pericles is upset that at anybody in his entourage who might flatter him in the same way.
So
the Gower is kind of like this moralizing poet, an anti-flattery poet.
And the that line that he says, kings don't like hearing about sin they commit.
Right.
Yeah, it works. This is much better than I remember it.
Actually, when we read it the first time,
we liked it
a lot. Like, everybody kind of liked it. We didn't. The Gower thing was weird. It's weird, and it doesn't follow the Shakespearean. It's not easy to just sort of, like, figure out, oh, there's Lear, there's who the problem is.
But also, you had to write a play like this, which is a little more confusing before you could get to, like, A Winter's Tale or Cinderella.
Yes.
Just sort of figure it out.
Had to go through it. Okay, we've got Thaliard, Helicanus, Escanes, who doesn't say anything, Lords of Tyre. Okay.
Cool.
All cast.
Nice.
Am I Thaliard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Act 1, Scene 3, Tyre. An antechamber in the palace. Enter Thaliard, Solus.
So, this is Tyre, and this the court. Here must I kill King Pericles. And if I do it not, I am sure to be hanged at home. It is dangerous. Well, I perceive he was a wise fellow, and he had good discretion, that being bid to ask what he would of the king, desire he might know none of his secrets. Now I do see he had some reason for it. For if a king had bid a man to be a villain, he's bound by the indenture of his oath to be one. Hush, here comes the Lords of Tyre.
Enter Helicanus, Escanes, with other lords.
You shall not need, my fear peers of Tyre, further to question me of your king's departure. His sealed commission left in trust with me to speak sufficiently. He's gone to travel.
Aside.
How? The king's gone?
If further yet you will be satisfied, why, as it were, unlicensed of your loves, he would depart. I'll give some light unto you, being at Antioch.
What?
Aside.
What? From Antioch?
Royal Antiochus, on what cause I know not, took some displeasure at him, and least he judged so, and doubting lest he had erred or sinned, to show his sorrow, he'd correct himself, so puts himself unto the shipman's toil, with whom each minute threatens life or death.
Sighed.
Well, I perceive I shall not be hanged now, although I would, but since he's gone, the king's seas must please. He scalped the land to perish at the sea. I'll present myself. Peace to the Lords of Tyre!
Lord Thaliar, from Antiochus is welcome.
From him I come with message unto princely Pericles, but since my landing I have understood your lord had betook himself to unknown travels. My message must return from whence it came.
We have no reason to desire it, commended to our master, not to us. Yet ere you shall depart, this we desire. As friends to Antioch we may feast entire.
Exit.
All right.
Interesting.
What was that?
Interesting. He comes, he shows up, says, oh, he's gone. I'm off the hook. I don't
even really want to kill him.
I don't want to kill
him anyway. So, hi, y'all.
So, hey, how's everybody doing? Let's go feast.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we have Cleon.
I think, I'll be Cleon.
It's time for you to rock. Stephanie, do you want to be Dionysa?
Sure.
I think Cleon is the other douchebag of this play.
Oh.
Is he from Battlestar?
Battlestar Galactica?
Clearly, like Shakespeare must have watched all the Battlestar Galactica to get his hands on it.
Cleon does sound like Cylon. Enter Cleon, the governor of Tharsis, with his wife, Dionysa, and others. So we're in Tharsis now.
Yes. My Dionysa, shall we rest us here and by relating tales of others' griefs, see if 'twill teach us to forget our own?
That were to blow at fire and hope to quench it. For who digs hills because they do aspire, throws down one mountain to cast up a higher? Oh, my distressed lord, even such our griefs are, here there but felt and seen with mischief's eyes, but like to groves being taught, they higher rise.
Oh, Dionysa, who wanteth food and will not say he wants it, or can conceal his hunger till he famish? Our tongues and sorrows to sound deep our woes into the air, our eyes to weep, till tongues fetch breath that may proclaim them louder, that if heaven slumber while their creatures want, they may awake their helpers to comfort them. All then discourse our woes, felt several years, and wanting breath to speak, help me with tears.
I'll do my best, sir.
This Tharsis, o'er which I have the government, a city on whose plenty held full hand, for riches strewn herself even in her streets, whose towers bore heads so high they kissed the clouds, and strangers ne'er beheld but wondered at, whose men and dames so jetted and adorned like one another's glass to trim them by. Their tables were stored full to glad the sight, and not so much to feed on as delight. All poverty was scorned, and pride so great, the names of help grew odious to repeat.
Oh, 'tis too true.
But see what heaven can do by this our change. These mouths, who but of late earth, sea, and air, were all too little to content and please, although they gave their creatures in abundance. As houses are defiled for want of use, they are now starved for want of exercise. Those palates who, not yet 2 summers younger, must have inventions to delight the taste, would now be glad of bread and beg for it. Those mothers who, to nousle up their babes, though not too curious, are ready now to eat those little darlings who they loved.
Wow.
Everyone is so hungry that the women are ready to eat their young.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yum.
You know, eating their young, incest.
This is a fun place.
So sharp are hunger's teeth that man and wife draw lots who first shall die to lengthen life. Here stands the lord and there a lady weeping. Here many sick, yet those which see them fall have scarce strength left to give them burial. Is this not true?
Our cheeks and hollow eyes do witness it.
Oh, that those cities that of plenty's cup and her proprieties so largely taste, with their superfluous riots, hear these tears. The misery of Tharsis may be theirs.
Enter Lord Amret of Tharsis.
Where's the Lord Governor?
Here. Speak out thy sorrows, which thou bring'st as hate for comfort, is too far for us to expect.
We have descried upon our neighboring shore a portly sail of ships make hitherward.
I thought as much. One sorrow never comes, but brings an heir that may succeed as his inheritor.
That's gotta be the... Thanks, Debbie Downer.
And so in ours, some neighboring nation, taking advantage of our misery, has stuffed the hollow vessel with their power to beat us down, the which are down already, and make a conquest of unhappy me, whereas no glory's got to overcome. Eeyore, Lord Cleon.
That's the least fear, for by the semblance of their white flags displayed, they bring us peace. and come to us as favors, not as foes.
Now speak us like him, untutored to repeat. Who makes the fairest show means most deceit. But bring they what they will and what they can, what need we fear? Our ground's the lowest, and we are halfway there. Go tell their general we attend him here, to know for what he comes and whence he comes, and what he craves.
I go, my lord.
Exit.
Welcome is peace, if he on peace consists. If wars, we are unable to resist.
Enter Pericles with lords and attendants.
Lord Governor, for so we hear you are, let not our ships and number of our men be like a beacon furred to amaze your eyes. We have heard your miseries as far as Tyre, and seen the desolation of your streets. Nor come we to add sorrow to your tears, but to relieve them of their heavy load. And these our ships, you happily may think, are like the Trojan horse was stuffed within, with bloody veins expecting overthrow, and stored with corn to make your needy bread, and give them life whom hunger starved hath dead.
The gods protect you, and will pray for you.
Somehow.
Arise, I pray you rise. We do not look for reverence, but for love, and harborage for ourselves, our ships, and men.
The which, when any shall not gratify or pay you with unthankfulness and thought, be it our wives, our children, or ourselves, the curse of heaven and men succeed their evils. Till when, the which I hope shall ne'er be seen, your grace is welcome to our town and us.
Which welcome we'll accept, feast here a while, until our stars that frown lend us a smile.
Exent.
Am I the only one who rhymes in this?
Yeah,
he's feasting when they're starving.
You do rhyme. He's
because
bringing,
he brought the food.
He brought food, like the Trojan horse full of blood that's going to burst
corn,
on.
Right.
But it's filled with
all
corn. It's like a piñata.
This this works in a lot. It's sort of like a Baron Munchausen Don Quixote, like just going from one place to another and seeing all these lords.
Yeah.
I think that's why it could be really fun.
That's why
too.
Don Quixote is like, it's another romance, right? It's in the same sort of style of wandering and being taken by the current and
Bindingsroman.
You show up at someone's place. The incestuous king offers you his
daughter.
You
get freaked out.
You answer a riddle, which he'll kill you for.
It's like couch surfing in the Midwest or something.
Right. Well, if any of you have any comments on this weird play, or why... Oh, hey, if any of you have seen a version of this play, please tell us about it. I think, actually, Bard of the Beach in Vancouver did this play once. I'm almost certain it did. I never saw it.
I may post up, if I can find a link to the Confessio Montes. Good luck, it's Middle English, people. I did a whole course on that stupid, text.
Lovely.
And are better for it.
I feel edified.
Did the BBC do a version of Pericles?
Yes, they did.
They did a version of everything?
They're one of, yes.
BBC, Films did version. Well, it's films. It's TV, I think. Did versions of every Shakespearean play. If you ever want to see a stage version of this, that'll be the only one. So one of us lucky folk will have to do a review.
I may volunteer for that honor again. But the I think I saw bits of it, and it actually was pretty good. But most of those BBCs are like filmed plays more than movies.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they're kind of hard. They work sometimes. I like them. If I'm in the right mood, but sometimes they're just excruciating to get through.
You just can't watch one expecting a movie. Like, it just, as I did, six part one.
Well, so you budding filmmakers out there, please make a version of Pericles before the next Bard Brawl. That gives you about a week, give or take.
So I'm guessing there's no, like, bird's eye view from, like, these BBC productions, or it's just kind of, like, straightforward.
Yeah. Straight flat. The storyboard meeting is very easy. Flat shot, flat.
So we've got camera one.
Camera one. Well, if any of you have any comments or questions about this play or any play, please email us at barbrawl@gmail.com, leave a comment at barbrawl.com, go to Facebook, like us, tweet at us at the Bard Brawl, or subscribe to this on iTunes and leave a review. You can give us a star rating out of 5 stars.
Allowable ratings include 5 stars.
Because all of my life is based on how much strangers rate me on iTunes. For all of us here at Bard Brawl Studios, Bard Brawl Nation, we thank you, and we will be back with you shortly.
See you next time!
And see
Bardbrawl presents the reading of a sonnet by William Shakespeare. The selection is number 30, as read by Gerard James Fisher.
When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep a fresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell o'er the sad account of far bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end.